On December 7th, 1941, the Imperial Japanese Navy attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor. The following day, the U.S. announced its formal entry into World War II. That war ended 4 years later, when on September 2nd, 1945, the Japanese signed articles of surrender on board the USS Missouri. In those 4 years of conflict, 405,000 American servicemen and women lost their lives. We didn't believe that it could get any worse, but it has. In just the past year, that many lives and more have been lost to the Corona 19 virus. More Americans have died from this virus than died in World War II. On Tuesday of this week, at exactly 4:30 p.m., our church joined with houses of faith across the country, tolling our bells, one ring for each 1,000 Americans lost to the virus. We rang our bells 400 times. It took 43 minutes. We did this as part of a larger memorial, the first nationwide recognition of these deaths. So why? Why did First Presbyterian Church ring its bells for 45 minutes on Tuesday? Because we have the authority to do so. It is within our purview, caring for the living as well as the dead. That is what we do. On Tuesday, as I stood out by the street as the bells tolled, I watched the cars go by, and I honestly don't know if anybody even noticed or understood why the bells in the church were ringing. But it doesn't matter. This was our witness to those lost lives. It was our prayer. It was our authority. There are different types of authority. One type is the authority of power and of leadership. And we see this in the authority of government, the authority of constitutions and of laws. Governments wield their authority because the people allow them to have it. The people can also withdraw that authority. As Abraham Lincoln stated in 1856, our government rest in public opinion. As I speak to you right now, there are presently protests taking place across Russia challenging the authority of that government. Authority, to be effective, it must possess legitimacy. Without legitimacy, authority is no more than force. And beyond the realm of governments, there is a less structured authority that exists between people. And this authority is normally earned by one's actions or achievements, by education and accomplishments. For example, I could call myself a race car driver. But until I go out onto a track and win a race, I'm just a tailgater. I lack authority. In our reading today from the Gospel according to Mark, the matter of Jesus' authority is front and center. As Christians, we understand and willingly accept Jesus' authority. But imagine being those people in Galilee back when Jesus first came onto the scene. They had no idea who he was or what he represented. He had no authority with them. Yet, In the Gospel of Mark, the first time we meet Jesus is when he is baptized by John. And as Jesus emerges from that river where John has baptized him, we are told the heavens were torn apart and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. A voice from heaven declared, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus is then sent into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. After that, he goes to Galilee to proclaim God's good news, and it is there that he begins calling his first followers. And then, with this newly designated entourage of followers, Jesus goes to the town of Capernaum. It's in Galilee, and this will become his base of operations. When the Sabbath arrives, Jesus enters into the synagogue at Capernaum, and he begins to teach. He does what the scribes normally do, teach and interpret the scripture. But for some reason, his teaching is different than what the people were accustomed to. Mark tells us that the people were, in fact, astounded at his teaching, because unlike the scribes, Jesus taught with authority. Now, we don't know exactly what this means for Jesus to teach with authority, but scholars, however, are familiar with the teaching style of the scribes. The scribes were educated men, and they would present a passage of scripture. They would read the scripture to the people, such as, say, a reading from Isaiah. But then to interpret the passage, they would cite the writings of the great rabbis. Rabbi such and such says this. Rabbi such and such says this. So scribes served more as dispensers of information and less as interpreters of the scripture itself. They did not teach with their own authority, but they leaned on the authority of others. But Jesus, it seems, was different. He appears to have taught with his own words and his own understanding. And so the people said he taught with authority. But that is not all that happens on this day in the synagogue in Capernaum. While Jesus is there, there is also a man present who is possessed with an unclean spirit. And the presence of Jesus compels this spirit to cry out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus commands the spirit, "Be silent and come out of him." And then with much shouting and convulsing, the spirit leaves the man. And again, the people are amazed at what they've witnessed, and they ask, "What is this? Is this a new teaching of some sort?" And it has authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And then we're told, immediately, the word of Jesus, his fame, began to spread throughout the region. The authority that Jesus exhibits, it's not the authority of force, and neither is it the authority of law and government. I mean, we already know from the opening of this gospel that Jesus has the authority of God. God claimed him as his son. But then there are a lot of people throughout history who have claimed to have God's authority, and they are usually the ones who start cults. It's not enough for Jesus to simply claim to carry God's authority. He must demonstrate it as well. And he does. He does it by teaching, and by healing. by preaching and performing deeds of power for all to see. He establishes very clearly that his claims of authority are not empty at all. He engages in a ministry of teaching God's kingdom, of speaking God's word, and performing acts of compassion in God's name. What we identify as Jesus' miracles, they are also authentic expressions of God's authority. And as followers of Christ, we can perform miracles ourselves through our own quiet expressions of God's authority. Sheltering the homeless, feeding the hungry, comforting the lost, ringing the bells to honor the dead. These are acts of authority. Late this week, I was saddened to learn of the death of a personal hero of mine, the death of the great baseball player Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron and I share the same hometown of Mobile, Alabama. And in 1974, Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record when he hammered in home run number 715. Hank Aaron had a long and distinguished career in baseball. He racked up numerous awards and records. He's in the Hall of Fame and much more. I remember watching that game on TV when he broke Ruth's record. I'm pretty sure the whole town was watching it. School, it was all anybody talked about. Sadly, however, despite this great accomplishment and this life of excellent baseball playing, as an African American, Aaron was continually subjected to mountains of hate mail and innumerable death threats. But despite his accomplishments on the diamond, Aaron was not the sort of person to draw attention to himself. A New York Times headline this week described the player as leading, quote, a quiet life of home runs. When he retired from baseball, Hank Aaron used his authority to fight racial injustice, to cast out the unclean spirits of hatred. This morning, in a few moments, we will be ordaining and installing church officers. These are people who have been called to serve our church in roles of leadership. But their leadership, it's not rooted in force, but instead in the quiet authority of Christ. The officers are called to lead through their service. Their authority comes from you, who chose them, and from those who have held these offices before. According to our book of order, their lives should be, quote, a demonstration of the Christian gospel in the church and in the world. In other words, they should lead lives of authority. I would like to end with one last story of authority. On Wednesday of this week, Joseph R. Biden was sworn in as the 46th President of the United States. The day before his inauguration, Mr. Biden delivered a farewell speech in his home state of Delaware. And in this speech, he talked about his son, Beau, who had died in 2015 of a brain cancer. The father's love for his lost son was evident in his tears. The next day, Wednesday, that was the day of the inauguration. And on this day, a woman named Patricia Tallarico, she's a writer for one of the Delaware newspapers, she decided to visit the grave of Beau Biden at the cemetery of St. Joseph Catholic Church in Wilmington. She writes that over the years she had crossed paths with Beau Biden several times, and the emotional speech given by his father the day before, well, that reminded her of a loved one that she had recently lost. And all of this together, she decided that she just wanted to stop by the cemetery and offer a prayer. When Tallarico arrived at the cemetery, she was surprised to see that someone was already there. A man in a blue uniform was kneeling by the grave with his head bowed and his hands clasped together. And so Tallarico chose not to disturb this man. So she remained in her car and listened to the president's inauguration speech on the radio. The man did not move for the entire time that she was there. And she writes that the journalist in her desperately wanted to go over and interview this man. But out of her respect for him as well as for the deceased, she refrained and drove away. And we know nothing about who this man is. He is anonymous. I don't know what his faith might be or even if he claims to have a faith. I assume he does. But as I've read that story so many times, I can only view this man's actions of those of Christian authority performing a quiet act to honor the dead. While the attention of the world was focused on the father, this man in uniform chose to kneel at the grave of the son. And except for this reporter being present, no one would have known what he had done. His quiet prayer for the dead exemplifies Christian authority by its compassion and its reverence and its willingness not to draw attention. As Christians, our role in this world is to demonstrate Christian authority. Not the authority of power, but an authority that is rooted in love, in care for neighbor, in prayer, in the honoring of this creation, in casting out the unclean spirits of injustice and poverty and hatred. So let us choose this day to humble ourselves and set aside any hunger that we have for power. Let us instead strive to serve our God with authority. Amen.